Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, as usual. And it is so great to be here today. I love wrapping up the week with all of you amazing people. And I'm just going to jump right in and start saying hi to whoever's here. And let's start with, Ewan Rankin.
Ewan. Hello, mate.
How are you?
I'm all right. Okay, I'm good to be back. It's really nice to be back. The only problem I've got is I actually started my research for today by going to wikipedia.org to look at Apple. I'm a bit out of the tech news at the minute, but I thought unless I come back, I mean, I may be filling the space left by Greeny, but I'm back. I've got to start somewhere. That's what I'm figuring, and it's frigging brilliant to be back.
It's awesome to have you back. And it's, I guess it's kind of appropriate. If I'm the interim host sitting in for you, you might as well be the interim Greeny.
I'm the interim Greeny. There, I like that. We've got a title already.
We'll get your business cards printed up.
Yeah. Interim Greeny. I love it.
Yeah. Then who's the interim Jeff?
That's probably me.
Okay. Patrice can be the interim Jeff. At some point, we run out of interims.
Yeah. Who's the interim?
See, it's this doesn't scale well.
I feel like this is going to just going down a black hole, and we're just being compressed and compressed till there's nothing left.
Chuck, that's our show.
Like
premise.
My soul. I'm kidding. I'm a redhead. I don't have a soul. Chuck, how are you today?
I'm great, Jeff. It's good to be back. I missed last week, but I'm so glad to be here and so glad to be on with the esteemed Mr. Rankin.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it's the show is always fancy, but now it's even a little bit more so.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I hope you had a good time at CES.
I had a great time at CES. A little bit sleep deprived, sore feet, sore back, but in other words, it was CES.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you come back from CES and you're not sore and tired, then you failed at your job.
Exactly.
I want to know how Chuck didn't get the con crud.
So far, you know, I mean, if that's a serious question, you know, it's trying to stay hydrated, lots of vitamins, and then actually getting sleep once you get home. Because I certainly didn't get any there, but you know, so far so good. I know several of the folks we were with came down with one thing or another.
Yeah,
coming back from CES a little bit sore and a different meaning when it ran with the AVN Awards as well, didn't it?
Well, you can ask our resident expert on that, Ewan, Mr. David Ginsburg. He has some experience with that.
Yeah. Ewan, so Dave and Chuck were in Vegas at the same time for conferences, and Chuck tells his stories.
Well,
about
that's got
CES,
rid of the Superman theory, then, hasn't it?
Dave tells his stories about AVN. Yeah.
Right.
So clearly, this was the year I should have started going again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, how are you today?
I am great, Jeff. If Ewan raises show up, I'm lowering it back down again.
You know, nature always goes for a balance, right?
Yes. It's like the force, light side and the dark side.
No, right. Boys, I'm definitely here with ballast today.
But also, you're our resident British correspondent, right?
Well, that's right.
Yeah. So
and
finally,
for some time, it would seem.
Yeah, finally on the British Tech Network, there's actually someone that we can legitimately say is from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Ewan, thank you for being our token Brit. Do appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's my network, technically, still.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Have you looked around? Have you seen what this place is now? Yeah. This is what happens when you take some time off. This is all on you.
Yeah, man. I got to go to hide. That's a cheap shot.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yep. I'll work on being better.
Yep. No. You let one American in, we take over like it's an invasive species.
Yeah, this checks out. Yep. Hey, Dave, how are you? And how is AVN?
I'm doing great. And well, the backstory is for you and Zeke, I was staying at Resorts World, and that's where AVN was being held. And yes, I did.
Oh, is it back on the same time though?
Yeah, it was around the same
time. Oh, you just
time.
Went to AVN, right? Okay.
I did not.
Oh, it is back at the same time. Okay.
I did see some interesting people in the lobby and in the casino at the Resorts World, but that's about as far as I went. No, I started at Harrah's and then I moved over to Resorts World for the week and had a great time at CES and it's great to see everybody. Yeah, I avoided the crud too, but I was smart and had some immune drink and stuff to keep hydrated, so I made it through it. But no, other than observing interesting people, that's as far as I went with AVN.
Okay.
Dave, I did so much immune drinking at CES every year. It's, you know, the fact that the booze was all free definitely played a role in that.
You and make sure you ask Dave what he got signed.
It was his boobs.
I think Ewan must have been there.
Yeah. Oh, no. There was a friend who had a specific star, his name, which I was just blown away why he would even ask me that. And I said, yeah, that's not happening.
What was it? A threesome suggestion or something? Is that?
Let me go that far.
Wait, so someone wanted you to go and get an autograph from a specific porn star?
Yes. Yeah, he came up with the name and everything. And I, because I have no time. And I was right back over at the show floor. I had no time.
They're very hard working professional actors. How yes, could you?
They are.
Very hard. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
How are you?
Who? Me?
Yes, you, Patrice.
I thought we had already moved on. I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I'm so happy the week is over. I'm so happy to be here because like this is the highlight of my Friday and it's also the start of the weekend for me. So I'm very, very happy. First week back at work. Feels like it's been 3 months, but it's only been a week. So there's that. So I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And I have for tomorrow a really cool plan. I've organized a little tour, a little trip to Vienna for like a bunch of people here. We're going to go on a city walk and see the ugly side of Vienna. And that's going to be super interesting. So you can expect some photos on Instagram and stuff.
I'm looking forward to those photos.
Mm, me too.
Nice. Hey, before we jump into the news, I want to remind everyone that we need more money for the daily news show.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, we're bringing in enough money right now to run the show 2 days a week instead of five. That's a problem because it's a daily news show, not an occasional news show. So we need to get it back up to 5 days a week. And when you scale back because you're not bringing in enough money and you say, okay, we can do 2 days a week. That's what we'll do for now. That's just one thing step away from the show going away. So let's, Ewan, please.
No, I was just say one thing for everyone to consider as well is that PayPal has a nasty habit, if you've got a subscription, of just stopping it suddenly and then seeing if you restart it. And you may not even know that your subscription's dwindled. Carl does a great job on that from the Philippines. Mm. He's perfectly paced to finish, you know, USA finishes the tech news. He makes it and it's on your breakfast table at 9 a.m. here in England. And it's sad that it's dwindled. I think some of that may have been as well because I've neglected the network. So I'm going to try and put that right. So please support him. Go to the supporters page on the British TechNet page network page and dive in. Thanks, Jeff.
Sure thing. And Ewan, since you haven't been around, I went ahead and just told everyone, here's our new goal. Since we need $385 or pounds or euros,
we're paying $385 a month. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it costs. So our goal now is we need to bring in $400 a month just for the Daily News show. So we have a little bit of a buffer in case our costs change at some point. And let's make that happen. $400 a month.
Yeah, I mean, all of the money goes to Kyle. None of it comes to us in the UK here or anything. It's just to keep the Daily Show going. And Kyle does all the posting of the Mac Show and the Big Show each week as well at the Concept Heart. So please support us because it really does make a big difference.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still maintaining it is the best tech news show on the internet. It is. Brilliant. Like, there's nothing better. He's a true professional. He's been doing it for so long. I listen to it every day, and I'm like, it's the first thing I listen to.
He's the ex announcer for the NBA. So I mean, he's done it a time or two.
He has little experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Well, let's talk about some news. And so since Ewan's here, the first thing I'm going to do is pick us a story that's actually not Apple specific, but it does impact Apple users. And it's that Twitter's APIs took a dirt nap yesterday. And so what that means is that all of the third-party Twitter clients, they stopped working. So no announcement. And as far as I know, as of now, we still don't have any word from Twitter on what happened.
Still not working.
Yeah, still not working. And that means at this point, if you want to log into Twitter and use Twitter, you need to use their own native application or the website.
Well, they were always trying to push you towards that anyway, weren't they? They started limiting the APIs a lot right at the start. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, I think Elon's shown himself to be a bit of a knob since he took over. I was going to say prick, but I thought that might be a bit harsh.
It's deserving.
Yeah. I mean, we did our yearly predictions last week. I don't remember how many negative Twitter Elon related things we had on the list, but there were a few.
Can I join in with the predictions? Elon's going to be a knob this year.
You won that one.
Okay. Yeah. It has to be a risk.
It's not. It's
oh, not mate, risky enough.
It's 7-4 on, mate. It's not even close.
So, is this the first Twitter? I don't want to say outage because it's not an outage. It's just, you know, an issue with third-party clients. But is this the first one we've seen? I mean, look, I'm always the one that seems to play devil's advocate, but is it possible that this was a change that somebody didn't understand would break the access for the third-party Twitter clients since there's so
they've done that before? Well, I think the problem was they started a real war on third-party APIs because people like Tweetbot were doing certain features so much better than anything that Twitter was doing. All the ad revenue was disappearing. So they wanted to try and cut back on those things, and they did do a thing where they added an update and it all disappeared and everyone went into uproar. But I think the other thing is Twitter's not that as popular, it seems, anymore. It doesn't seem to feature in news stories. It's TikTok and Instagram that seems to be the place where people go for
a lot. This is not even the first outage on Twitter since Elon took over. There have been issues with two-factor authentication. There were data leaks. That's right.
We've had fail whales again.
Yeah. People couldn't sign up. People couldn't sign in. Like, all of that has happened the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of discussion where people are upset because they think this is an intentional act on Elon's part. We don't know that, and it's very possible that what's really happening here fits in with what I have predicted the demise of Twitter will be, which is that it just slowly falls apart. And then eventually it's so broken, it just doesn't work. Yeah. And with the minimum staff that they have, if something went wrong somewhere and it ultimately ended up breaking the third-party API, there may not be anyone at the company that knows what to do to fix this.
That's what I was referring to, Jack. Brain drain.
I'm looking at the Twitter API handle, which has 6 million followers, and there hasn't been a tweet on there since October.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of telling.
I mean, they fired half of their staff.
Right.
And then the other half, at least half of that left. Probably more by now. So, I mean, who's left? The whatever. Like the people who... Yeah, well, that too.
I'm good at maths. It's the people. I'm really good at maths.
Great. Good job. Yeah. No, but it's like the people who, I mean, either don't know, like they're not good enough to go anywhere else, or they can't go anywhere else for some reason, like personal or like visas or whatever. So and then maybe two people who actually believe in Enon. So like they can't run this big ship.
And I mean, apparently Muskrat believes the company runs on his will and pixie dust.
Well, looks like he needs to go over and hit Amazon for another load of pixie dust.
Yeah,
because he's out.
This didn't occur.
Maybe
to
they
me
need another sink.
Yeah, this didn't occur to me until right now, and I don't have it set up on this machine. But is great. I lost it. Is the multi pane Twitter access still working? Good Lord, I can't think of the name.
Are you talking about TweetDeck?
TweetDeck, thank you.
Yeah, Dave. It's web only. The app is gone. They got rid of that for a long time ago. But I should try that. Let me try it right now.
If you have it up, because you know that, I mean, that's an alternative that is.
Yeah, it's still working.
Okay,
well, Twitter owns TweetDeck, so
because they own it, right? So that's probably why.
Yeah. So that's an alternative. It's a web alternative, but it's better certainly than just logging into regular Twitter, especially if you have multiple accounts.
That's why I didn't even know about this, because I use the Twitter app on my iPhone and then TweetDeck once in a while. And I know that TweetBot and others that aren't working. So,
but why would you log into Twitter? I mean, honestly,
at this point, that's now an incredibly valid question.
Yeah.
Does anyone try the Twitter app? Surely the iOS Twitter app would use the third-party APIs. No?
Apparently it doesn't, because
it's been working.
It works. I just used the Mac app, so that was working.
It because I have it set up for getting notifications, so, you know, I'm followers, so it's been working fine.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, you can find me on Mastodon. I'm at JGamut.
Yep.
Same just here. Don't post that on Twitter, Jeff.
I can't.
Okay. So, Jeff, in relation to your comment, mm-hmm. I mean, this would deal a pretty good blow to Twitter, because we all have our favorite Twitter clients. But assuming that you need to be on Twitter, is it that big an issue as long as we have native apps?
Right now, I'd say it's a huge issue, because look at the number of companies that are using automated systems to post all their social mm-hmm. media content that broke yesterday.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Real good point. Didn't think about that.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, if this was actually something deliberate by Musk, and like everybody, I think it wasn't, that breaking of the social media bots, that cuts down significantly on the amount of content on Twitter and therefore revenue.
If it wasn't deliberate, why is there no word?
Yeah.
Because that's big enough for Elon to get on Twitter and go, hey, guys, awfully sorry. We've done some, we're figuring it out. But no one's saying a word. So that makes me think it is deliberate. It's a let them eat cake move, in which case I think he screwed the pooch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing too is, not only does it cut it hurts corporate systems, it also hurts the spammers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it cuts down on some of the junk that we're seeing.
But anyway, our BTN bot is still working, so
wow, okay, so we've beaten the system.
We've beaten the system. I don't know what we did.
Is that because you coded it?
Fight the power. So,
Everybody call Patrice that needs help.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
it
that
works
little
for me.
There's that little at foodie flashback. Yeah. Just call Patrice. She'll fix it for you.
Wait. I completely misunderstood what you said, I think. Did you just say that's our ass booty flashback?
No, I didn't. No, I said that the little at foodie flashback.
Guys, you can't take the show title off me this early.
I'm sorry, Patrice. I don't know what got into them.
No, seriously, I swear to God, I thought that's what you said. And I had two immediate thoughts. The first one was, what the hell? And then the second one was, should I know this reference? Do I need to know this reference? Why don't I know the reference?
Jeff, get your mind out of AVN.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You've been looking at Dave's post to Twitter way too much, Jeff.
All the way up until last night. Yeah. And Ben, remember, I'm the guy that did an on-location demo of sex toys live.
Oh, I remember that.
You did on the big show. That was probably one of our highest moments. That was,
I think so.
That was a seminal moment. Excuse the pun. But yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Was. That was great.
I mean, Ben, I didn't
that
know
was, that was just great visual audio.
Yeah. Ben, I didn't know that you follow David on OnlyFans, but okay.
I told you.
Wait.
I told you David got his boob signed.
Don't we all follow Dave? that's how you wrap up the end of your day. You know, it's like, okay, I need to unwind a little bit, chill. Let's take
a little bit of Ginsburg in my life.
Oh my God. I'm glad you're back. God.
Well,
we miss you, Ewan.
speaking of touching stuff,
nice transition.
Wow. Thank you. No, it works though, because now we're going to talk about the report that Apple actually is going to make a touchscreen Mac.
Yes.
This was a news story 5 years before I stopped coming on the show.
And it will be for the next 5 years.
Yeah, we have a hard time finding news some days.
This is someone who's got something in some bit of root code somewhere and gone, oh, look, there's a touch thing there, and forgotten that Apple make an iPad and all of the apps go across everything. It's not a story.
The difference in this version of the story is now that it's Ewan shows up and I forget people's names. Mark, what's his name?
Mark
Bloomberg.
He's not. He's distracted because he's looking for Ginsburg OnlyFans account.
No, I've got it open right now. You're not going to believe.
He's got a monitor Mark for that.
Yeah, you won't believe where he has an autograph, and you won't believe whose it is. Anyhow, so yeah, Mark Gurman, thank you. He's claiming that that Apple is working on a touchscreen, a MacBook Pro, for release probably in 2025. You know, outside of some specific use cases like Dave's OnlyFans, I'm with Steve Jobs' statement on this from years ago, which is that a touchscreen laptop is an ergonomically bad idea.
It's coming out just after the TV.
Right. Right.
In a car.
It feels like I haven't gone anywhere. There's a touchscreen Mac coming. There's an Apple TV. Not a proper TV.
Yeah.
Wow, Ewan, it's like you've never left.
I was thinking I was going to be behind the curve on the news. I'm right on it.
Yeah, you are still on the bleeding edge.
But I mean, to play devil's advocate here, I mean, for how long was the a certain device called the mythical Mac tablet netbook thingy until the iPad was actually announced?
Yeah.
I mean, Apple is big enough as a company that they can try anything. Like if someone in the bathroom has an idea, they can just do it. Like, just try it. See if it is something. And I'm sure they've had probably 15,000 different MacBook touchscreen prototypes already, because it's not. I mean, other manufacturers are doing it, so it's not a completely crazy idea. But I'm also pretty sure that every single one of them, they looked at it and said, "Nah."
It's the same as the TV. Is there a Mac at Apple HQ that has touch capabilities? There may well be in the Johnny Ive Memorial Labs. But sure. is it a thing that's going to come to market? Highly unlikely. I mean, Apple are pushing the iPad as the replacement for your computer. Why make a computer that mimics an iPad? Oh, I know. Maybe they'll make it into a folding like the thing that goes back on itself and all that kind of stuff. You know, the yoga mat and that kind of thing. Just not happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. This just doesn't seem like the way Apple would want to muddy the waters with their product lineup. There is, however, one thing in this report that I do like and seems totally plausible to me, which is that Apple will transition to OLED displays in the MacBook Pro line. Yeah. I could see that happening.
Totally. I made the prediction last week. I think we're going to see a bigger iPad this year, and that is a step in that direction. Like, don't call it a MacBook. The bigger, like a 16-inch iPad is totally doable for Apple, and that is a touchscreen computer.
That makes more sense. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And maybe that's with those rumors. Like, sometimes it's like, okay, they saw like some nugget somewhere, or someone said, oh, we're working on something touchscreen and it's on your desk, whatever. And they thought, oh, it's a MacBook. And in reality, no, it's an iPad on your desk.
So great. Well, have you seen 15-inch Echo?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, just brilliant. I've got one in the kitchen and it's just fantastic. It's awesome. It makes so much more sense to make a large format iPad than it does a touchscreen MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Chuck.
No. but question along the lines of a touchscreen Mac. Is there anyone here who has, because of using an iPad, has reached up and touched their screen on their Mac, laptop or what? Okay, one. Wow, really?
Yeah, I've touched it.
Okay, so that's what concerns me about predicting that this will never come to pass. Because if half the audience here has, in just in our little panel here, then, you know, does that mean that there's a market, maybe not to make it exclusively touchscreen, but to have the option?
Yeah,
it's called the iPad.
Yeah. I think you've got to look at the reason why people are doing that is because they're using their iPads like computers, so they forget they are on a computer, not on an iPad, and that's a different way round of looking at the situation. It's not people who want to be on a computer doing that. They think they're still on their iPad because they're using their iPads as a computer, as Apple want them to.
Not only that, but for a not insignificant amount of us, we are forced to use Windows laptops for work. Well, I've used a Windows laptop with a touchscreen.
Yep.
Use that so much that I just, when it comes to certain specific tasks, I just reach to touch instead of using my mouse.
And I see that a lot of people. I mean, I support folks who have the actual Dell tablets. And they're doing touchscreen technology because they're writing reports. They're using a pen stylus to write up reports while they're doing their work. So, I mean, when I was at CES too, I mean, seeing more touch technologies, I was at the Lenovo booth and saw that they had that virtual keyboard, which is basically a touch keyboard that also has the touch screen that you can interact with it. So, I mean, I think Apple is looking and seeing that the touch technology has really accelerated into a point that it's going to be hard for them not to consider it, in my opinion.
Okay, I think this is focus group bound.
Yeah. So flip it around for just a second. If they made a touchscreen Mac, would this then facilitate the move to consolidate the two platforms? Because now they both have, at least in theory, the same capabilities.
Yes, but I don't think in the way people are thinking.
But they I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think what you'd see is you have the quote-unquote Mac mode, and then you have a more iOS-like a more iOS like simplified mode.
But that's the thing they're going to have to come up with as far as the hardware in itself. Again, the tablet example I just gave, the Dell tablet, that has a detachable keyboard, so it can become a tablet or it's a desktop. You know, the Mac doesn't have that. It's purely keyboards.
Yeah.
They also have
the laptops.
The iPad does too. It's detachable. Yeah. I mean, they do make laptops that laptops fold over flat and it becomes a tablet. You know, I work with those too, and you have those as well. So you have both worlds with that. I can assure Apple is looking at that and seeing that technology has been there with touch screens, that I can't see them not considering this.
Yep. And there's also one other possibility to this.
Mm-hmm.
Moving, taking a second try with the touch bar and moving that to the bottom of the screen.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, if you bump the screen up and you make a hardware piece, but the lids are traditionally really, really thin, aren't they? So I think you might be struggling for hardware space there. But I agree, that's a better place for the interface if you really want to persist with a crap interface. Bob Beach is saying in the chat room, touch on Windows is really useful. Use it a lot on the Surface laptop. And I think that's because I know there's a one OS kind of ethos within Mac. But I mean, the Surface Windows 11 is really a one. You know, the Surface is running the exact same piece of software.
Mm-hmm. Ewan, you've been worried about whether or not you're rusty on being on the show. Look at the way you just slid right in to reading comments from the chat.
Well done,
sir.
I was sitting here thinking
rusty.
No, I'm sitting there thinking, don't they read the chat room anymore? Don't they read the chat room anymore?
We do.
Okay, sorry.
But we also bow to our touch technology expert, Dave Ginsburg, because he's had so much experiences. But I'm thinking more of the touching part of the Las Vegas trip.
Oh, God. He's going back to that. Like
we'd end up back there.
Why haven't you got a Sharpie when you want one?
Yeah, well...
Ewan, I always have a Sharpie. Always be prepared. Hey, apparently since we're covering topics that we were covering back when Ewan was regularly on the show, let's talk about Apple TV.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. People are pissed off with tvOS 16.2 and the redesign of the interface in the TV app or TV Plus app, whatever, because now the Watch Now stuff is hidden below the fold, if you will, and it's all promotional stuff that you see, and you have to go looking for the content that you've been watching so you can watch the next episode.
I'll continue watching is too far away.
Is that true? Because for me, it's still, I mean, at least on the iPad, it's still like they've made it a little bit smaller and it's more towards the bottom, but it's still there.
On the iPad, it's there. Mm. Yes, it's been moved. Mm-hmm. On the Apple TV, that's where the problem is. And well, I'm with the haters on this one because it's really frustrating. And it feels like instead of having an Apple interface for interacting with TV shows and movies I'm watching, mm-hmm. it's like I have the same weird messed up interfaces that Amazon and HBO Max were giving me. Even Disney Plus, you have to scroll down through all this other stuff before you get to what you're already watching. And
don't get me started on Paramount. I don't know. Like, I mean, I fully understand that people are frustrated with it. I'm just happy that Apple is doing anything with it. Because, I mean, so far, like, the interface hasn't changed in years and they've, like, completely ignored it. And Like it's front row. It wasn't great before. It was front row. It wasn't great before. It still isn't great. Like, I mean, at least they're trying something. Yeah, they did go in the wrong direction, but
Anza, who seriously uses Watch Now in their Apple TV experience. Seriously uses it.
Mm-hmm. Well, granted, I use it on the home screen. But
and I get frustrated.
Right. No. I'm talking about when you switch Apple TV on, when you hit the menu button, the Apple TV home screen comes up and it's on Watch Now. Don't tell me you don't scroll immediately down to apps.
No, I actually
I scroll down to continue watching.
Yeah. So I mean, I haven't been on Watch Now for ages. I find it functionless and crap. And why go back? Because it is front row. It's about as much function as front row was.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrice, I can appreciate your appreciation that Apple is doing something with the app because it has been neglected for so long. Mm-hmm. However, the problem that I'm having is this is Apple. The bar that we should be setting for what they do shouldn't be, hey, at least they're finally doing something. It needs to be much, much higher than that.
But yeah, that's the level where we are with a lot of things with Apple right now. I mean, look at the HomePod, look at the Apple TV in general, look at WatchOS. Like, at least they're doing something.
Is there anybody here that has an interface that they like?
No.
I would say Apple TV is the closest to, yes, because the other ones are Adren crap.
Netflix.
Yeah, the still big the best problem that I'm having with like Amazon, HBO Max, and those are the two that are coming to mind right now. When you scroll down to where you have like the row of like movies or TV shows or whatever, and you stop on one of them for more than like a second, it suddenly expands that thing out.
That's awful.
So now instead of being able to look at what I was looking at, everything else is now shifted over. And now I'm doing this kind of musical chairs thing with trying to see what I want to see without having everything or something else expand. And it's a horrible user experience. I mean, I appreciate the idea of, oh, you've stopped on this thing. Let's give you a bigger space so you can see more about what the show is. But the way it actually works sucks.
Too quick. It's too quick. I mean, if you go to Netflix and you hover on Netflix and then after a few seconds, it'll start a preview. I like that. I think Netflix is still the better interface. Prime is awful. Yeah. Disney Plus is dysfunctional, but it's just... Yeah.
Paramount Plus is the worst.
I think Hulu is not too bad. I wouldn't say it's the best, but it's definitely not as bad as the others.
Well, that's why I ask, and because I'm sort of where Ben is. It seems to be now. I haven't subscribed to Netflix for a little while, so I've kind of lost my familiarity with it. But you know, it seems like nobody really is enamored with the interfaces that are out there, and so that's why I don't mind Apple trying a few things, because it's like they're searching. I mean, God knows, Fire TV is horrendous, you know, because it's not consistent. You know, I understand they want to promote stuff at the top, but if I have, I mean, 1 minute my most used apps are here, the next minute my most used apps are here, you know, then it's, you know, I don't even know, I've lost track, you know, because I have to go and search almost every single time I fire that darn thing up.
Mm-hmm. The one of the problems that I'm seeing here, and Apple is clearly falling into this space too, which bothers me. The various networks, the various services, what they're doing is designing apps for their own needs, not for their viewers' needs. And my take is, if you want to get more people consistently staying on your network, watching your shows, then give them an interface that caters to them, as opposed to catering to just trying to push different content at you.
But Jeff, we're back to the same problem of discovery. I mean, we see it on the app stores, you know, that there's constant pushing of, you know, things, and how that push gets there is a whole nother discussion. But the idea that if if Amazon wants me or Apple wants me on there, they've got to tell me what's there that will keep me there, because I'm probably, I know what I'm coming back for. That I know is there, but what will be the next thing that will bring me back there and keep me there?
Actually, I just realized a better interface that I really like, Plex.
Yeah,
Plex works mm-hmm. really well. Plex, I forgot about it. It
works well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's not a streaming service. It is now. Actually have a little bit, but
it is now. Well, but yeah,
yeah.
I think the other thing. I think the other thing that you got to remember as well is that a lot of the interfaces that are written are a younger generation than most of us. So they start from a different viewpoint where they're looking at stuff. I personally think that some of those are effectively written by dyslexic Gibbon, but they're starting with the interface of their generations. And to a certain degree, in terms of Netflix, am I the majority user in Netflix? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what the demographic is.
Yep.
As well, so because you might find if it's heavy towards the millennials and lower, you might find the interface is more to their tunes than mine.
Good point.
So the moral of the story is Gen Z, get off my lawn.
I think most of us fall in that, don't we? Yeah. do you know what I worked out the other week? Right, this was I turned 55. And I sat and thought about it, and I worked out that my date of birth was closer to the outbreak of World War One than today. And that was freaking crazy. That.
And now I'm going to start day drinking. Thanks a lot, Ewan.
No, that's what I heard.
Oh, man. Nothing. Right, so
it's a sobering thought, mate.
You know, after we wrap up the Mac show on Fridays, I go and make breakfast. Breakfast today is going to include bourbon. So thanks for that, Ewan.
Another devotee to the alcoholic phrase.
Yeah, well, you know, we all do what we can. You know, much like TSO hosts, because they're out here doing so much for us every single week. They are giving us the bandwidth we need so we can stream shows to you live. High quality content like this every single week. They're giving us the server space we need, so we have a place for the website and we have a place to host all of the show recordings, so you can watch or listen at your leisure, which is absolutely fantastic, because without that generosity, we literally would not be able to do what we do every single week. The resources that it takes to make that happen, it just wouldn't if TSO Host wasn't here supporting us. So we really, really appreciate that they're here making that happen. Their thing is they offer web hosting, they help you buy domain names, they have great support, and it's just like the all-in-one package for whatever your internet hosting needs are. So they're wonderful with that. Now, what they're asking of us, super easy. Go out on social media, give them a shout out and thank them for being here supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy. If it turns out that you need to buy a domain name or you're ready to get some hosting for a website, hit them up. Go and get everything set up. When you get to the checkout, use the discount code BTN20. That gets you 20% off your order. So not only are they being incredibly generous by helping us make the British Tech Network possible, they're being generous by giving a discount to all of our fans. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here. And Ewan, I'm going to stall for you so that you have time to find a cool thing. By the way, it's a thing we do on this show at the end.
I've got it. I'm sorted. I'm okay. Okay. Now, the other thing I want to say is some of you remember that we used to tie up with a company who helped us with Macs and that kind of stuff. The company is no longer, but please do not go to the old website address for the old company name, because the separation wasn't great. But the guy that I was friends with who has moved on has started a company called iMend Apple. They do exactly the same thing. They're doing all repairs to iPads and that kind of stuff. If you want to get repaired, give me a tinkle on Twitter at Ewan Rankin or on at British Tech, and I'll put you in touch with Mo, who's taking it on, and we'll get you all hooked up. But going forward, they're going to come on, I think, and hopefully sponsor the network. Nice. iMend Apple, and they're going to do PCs as well as, but I'll save that for the big show.
They have a website, which I'm dropping in the chat right now. And Patrice, do you mind telling people where they can find that chat?
Oh, yeah, that is actually quite easy. So if you're listening to this live, which you can do every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac Show. By the way, if you're into the non-Apple tech stories, we have also the Big Show, 7 p.m. UK time on a Thursday. And when you're listening to this live, you can just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And you can talk to us live. You can see all the cool links that we post, the cool things that are coming up, all of that. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player of choice, like whatever that is, doesn't matter, like all of them work. And you still want to know, oh, there was this one cool thing that Dave brought, like that really cool thing that I'm not willing to show at work, but I want to have. You can still head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then there's a little calendar that pops up and you have to select a date, which is today's date. So today as recording date, that is the 13th of January, Friday, the 13th of January, 2023. And then you're in and you will see everything, literally everything we've talked about in the chat.
Awesome. Patrice, thanks for doing that every week. You rock.
You're welcome.
And
in touch with Dave. That's the domain. I was wondering in the chat what the domain for Dave's thing would be. Yes, thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, in touch with Dave. Did it just get hot in here? Hey, it's time for some cool things. And Ewan, since you are actually prepared now, do you want to go first?
I do. Yeah, that's good because it gets it out of the way. My cool thing is the Evo 4 audio interface. I was going to try and show you, but I can't get it up high enough. You can just see the corner of it maybe there. There we go. No. I'll put the link in the chat room. It's a great little audio interface. It runs on USB-C. You plug. You can either have a line-in microphone or you can use an XLR input into it. It gives 48-volt preamp to it as well as... Now, it's an old pick because Doc picked this 4 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. But I'm sitting there going, well, actually, I haven't been on a Mac show for 18 months. So I need to go and find stuff. So this afternoon, I went back to the office and I pulled everything out of a box, found the Evo 4, brought it back, plugged it in, it updated itself, put a new firmware update on, plugged the microphone in, just worked. And it's like, well, okay, so that's my cool thing because I had a real sweat on that. I was going to be sitting here for half an hour frigging around with audio interfaces and end up doing it on a pair of AirPods. So I'm well happy.
That's awesome. And, you know, don't worry about the fact that this is something that Doc Rock talked about a few years ago. We can't
well, it's still for sale.
We had for lunch yesterday.
No, this thing's still currently for sale, the exact same model and everything like that. They do an 8-input interface and they do a 16 as well, which is a 24 input, which I don't know how that works. It's a great little device. I'm trying to find out where to buy it, but I think it cost me a couple of £100.
Sounds about right.
They're selling at Amazon.
Really, really good.
Yeah, you can find everything at Amazon.
Yep. Yeah.
$129 US.
Oh, that's even cheaper then. I'm sure I paid something like $300 or $400 for it. So
I wish I would have bought this instead of my Focusrite.
I used to have a Focusrite. The thing I had with my Focusrite was I had a Focusrite one, I had a Tascam one, and there was another one that I had as well, M Audio. And they all dropped out through OS changes in Mac, and this hasn't. It's been with me since, I'm going to say Yosemite.
Yeah. Wow. I've had this one for 5 years. The Focusrite I have. Not a problem so far.
The only thing that's I've ever really suffered with from running the network with OS changes was always the audio interfaces. Video stuff all went really, really well. The intensity shuttle didn't like the change to the Mac, the M1 chip, but everything else has always been audio that's crapped out.
Yeah, it's the audio interfaces I think are the worst for making it to new Mac OS versions. followed very closely by scanners and graphic.
Oh, cameras. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Who is the next cool thing?
I'll go. So, hold on here.
All right. This is a very good pick.
Yes. He'll be just
so who has the next Jeff. Pick?
I mean, Ben, if you want, I can go in between.
Nope. I just got
okay,
it here.
Got it. Okay.
So, I'm going to say I stole this one from Dave Mark. Basically, there are two ways of doing the quit app things. There's the Windows way where the app quits when the last window is closed, and the Mac way where it doesn't. Some of us may prefer the Windows way, so there's this little app called Swift Quit. Of course, it does allow you to exclude apps from this, but if it's something that you just kind of, it drives you mad if an app is kept open once you close the last window, this is your solution for Mac, and it's free.
Oh, and it's free. I love that price.
That's a great price.
Cool. Okay, here's like the irony of that.
Just install it.
Yeah.
This will make all of your apps act the way that a handful of Apple's own apps act. You know, like, say, GarageBand or System Settings, where you close the window and it quits the app. Yeah. Very cool.
Just installed it. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, one.
Just what I needed. Okay, I think I'm next. My cool you are thing next. Is yeah, my cool thing is technically a repick because I checked. I picked this on the Big Show twice. I've never picked it's really funny, I've never picked it on the Mac Show. So it is IA Writer, which is my personal favorite note taking app. I use it literally every day, all day. Like I have it on my work machine and I take all the meeting notes and literally any notes I take all on there. I use it for like the BTN shows, any like show titles and links, whatever, it's all in there. I use it for my content, like for the website, all the markdown files, all in IA Writer, literally anything. The cool thing about IA Writer is it's in my opinion, the best markdown editor. It can connect to any folder you want. Like if you have a project somewhere with a bunch of markdown files, or like a website, for example, like you have your, like what I do, you have your Fruity Flashback, for example, locally checked out, and there's like a bunch of markdown files there. You just drag the folder into the sidebar in the app, and you have it there. And you can have like it syncs through iCloud if you want. You can have other sync services. Like I have folders that are synced through OneDrive, for example. I just drag the folder in. That's it. Everything that lives in there goes through OneDrive. It's super easy. It's just very, very, very good. It's fast. It's simple. It doesn't do 50 million different things and none of them very well. It just works and it's a great app. So IA Writer. I have no clue what it costs. I could have checked that, but I forgot because I've had it for, I don't know, years.
Not a subscription.
10... Yeah.
So
okay, the Mac app is 50, iPad and iOS is 50. There's even Android and Windows. I didn't even know that. But you pay once and then you have it.
That's awesome. All right.
I didn't even know they had a Windows and an Android version. So that's good to know.
Yeah. I used to use IA Writer all the time. this was a long time ago. And the only reason I'm not using it now is because at the time there was a syncing issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I switched to whatever I switched to that was syncing better. But I wasn't happy because I wasn't using AI Writer.
Yeah. No syncing issues. I mean, all the syncing issues you could have are usually just iCloud issues. But as I said, I use it with OneDrive. Like iCloud I can't use for work. I just use OneDrive directory for that. It doesn't really care whether, I mean, it like iCloud is the default. It just, you just pop the file in, it's synced. But it doesn't really care. Like if you have other places, it just takes it. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And just to be clear, when I was having that problem, it was a long time ago. And it's something I know that was addressed and it works great. Awesome. All right. Who has the next cool thing?
I can go. I saw these guys at CES. I thought this was a cool product. It's the made by Hyper. Hyper makes some great stuff. This is the 6-in-1 USB-C media hub. This is it here mounted on an iPad. That's what it's for. It has a 4K HDMI. It's got a USB-C with the power delivery, micro SD, and it's got all the other ports here. I don't have to go through all of them here. Even an audio jack if you need it. Works really well, but the cool thing about it is it's got the media keys. So if you're watching a video, you can pause, you can forward, you can rewind, all these buttons right here, which is great. It fits nicely on the iPad. Also comes with an adapter, so you have another USB-C connector here. You can switch this out. Allows you to plug it in if you have a case. Sometimes that's a challenge. The case will inhibit this from it mounting. So this piece just pops right off, and then you just pop that in its place. And it's a nice little hub. It's $99, but I always actually find it a little cheaper. You probably can find it cheaper elsewhere, but not a bad little hub for the iPad, and having all these ports are readily available in it. And it's nice. It's flush, very nice flush against the iPad. So check it out.
I have the original version of that, so it doesn't have the media keys on the top.
Oh, okay.
And that one is great. I wish it was this one now.
Yeah.
And since you can pop that edge piece, that trim piece off,
yep.
I've actually had situations where I ended up plugging it directly into my Mac and using it when I needed a mini hub there.
Yep, you can do it that way too. This thing just pops right in, and then you have a cable here too if you want to extend it. Just gives you a nice flexible cable.
That nice. Would definitely be on my list if Satechi didn't just release that slim Thunderbolt 4 hub.
Yeah, that hub was cool. I saw that.
Yeah, that is nice. All right, so Chuck, I think it's down to you.
I think it's down to me. So
please tell me your pick is Dave's OnlyFans page.
Well, I was going to save that for next week after I had a chance to review it a little more.
I totally get it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I want to recommend quality, you know. And so so this year I completely changed my conference video recording rig. The only thing that remained from the old rig was the tripod. Otherwise, I just redid everything. And so I'll be kind of picking these over the next few weeks on the Mac show. But this week was sort of the core of it. It's the DJI Pocket 2. If you haven't seen this, this is a ridiculously small 4K camera.
So cool.
I picked the creator combo. I blame Frederick Van Johnson for this because he was the one that recommended it to me. And it lived up to everything he said and more. It solved all the problems I used to have. It gives me, if I'm a solo shooter, I can flip it around and I can see myself on the screen to make sure that I'm in frame and the guest is in frame. It is the battery holds up fairly well, not great, but fairly well. But you can also plug an external power source in during during use so that it just can stay powered for hours.
It's the size of a lipstick, and he's not happy.
Well, exactly, and that's an interesting point, Ewan. That the external power source can be one of those little lipstick sized batteries, and that will be enough to keep it going for extra time. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you just all the great features this thing has. The universal comment every time I'd walk up to a booth and say, "Hey, would you like to do a video recording?" They'd look at it and say, "Is that the camera? That's so small." But the picture does not suffer from it at all. It even has a little magnetically attached snap-on wide-angle lens so that you can get a little more picture, a little more space in your picture. It just, it is phenomenal. You can plug in an external mic to it to improve the sound, which is one of the path that I went. But you know, the onboard sound was great. It's just in a trade show environment, you really need something that, you know, you can go back and forth between the host and the guest. But this is not inexpensive, but if you're going to do it, buy the bundle, because you get everything that you're going to need with it, plus some things, including the little bottom portion there. If you pop open the Amazon link, you can see it. That's where the USB-C plug is that you can use while you're using it. Tripod mount on the bottom. This is showing with a little mini tripod, but it's a quarter 20, so it's standard. You can drop it on any tripod automatically. It is just absolutely a phenomenal little device.
And if you get an adapter, you can put it on a 3-meter Rode audio boom, and you can use it as a boom camera as well. So you've got 3 meters then of elevation to do really good low rising shots and things like that. Nice. That's what I use. And or panning, you know, huge high panning shots all right over the top of crowds and that kind of thing. I had the pocket one, and I just made a little adapter that stuck it on the front of my Rode. Zoom it out to 3 meters, and then you're sticking it down in areas you can't get to and rising up to start show a sunrise or something like that. It's just brilliant.
And I don't know, Ewan, if the one had it, but this has tracking too, so that it will, you know, you tell it, you identify yourself as what you want to track, and it will follow you around so that you really never move out of frame unless you are really trying to. In fact, it won't let you unless you just reach the limit of the gimbal. So, yeah, very, very cool little device.
And everybody That's liked brilliant. your fuzzy mic. With your with the big long stem on it,
we'll talk about everybody. That. We'll be talking about that next time. But yeah, you know, but listen, you know, the thing is, there were no plosives, there was no wind noise, there was no nothing. It just worked exactly the way you want it to work.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, that's really cool. I was going to ask you about whether or not your mic needed a haircut, because I noticed that in your videos, and I was going to ask you about it.
Yeah, well, ask me next week, because we'll get into the microphone side of this.
Sounds great. All right, so I guess that means it's down to me. Ewan, I'm sorry, I don't have a sex toy for a cool pick this week, which I blame CES and the way they've gotten so puritanic. So instead, my pick is a brand new Lego kit, and this is the Jazz Club. This one, it's a kit where it's what it claims to be. It's like a jazz bar at the bottom level of a 3-story little building, and then it has like a pizza restaurant on the side with a little apartment above it. And holy crap, this thing is just so wonderfully cool. And even has a little stage with light bars inside for the musicians. It's just, I'll let you know how much I really like it once it shows up. But from everything that's there in the descriptions and the videos and stuff that I've seen, going to absolutely love this one. So this one has 2,899 pieces. It's priced at $229.99. So that's actually really surprising, because last year Lego had to raise their prices. And so my 10 cents a brick guideline, that would put this at $289, and yet it's $229, and it has a bunch of minifigures. And every time you add a minifigure to a kit, that increases the price a little bit, because those cost more to make. So yeah, you have 8 minifigures. As Tom noted, yes, there's a little Vespa to go along with it, and it's just a wonderfully cool design. And yeah, I'm looking forward to doing the build.
Yeah, my friend Eva moonlights as a saxophonist in a jazz club.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I immediately just shared this thing with her. This is nice. Awesome.
I have no doubt she'll like it. It's really cool. Okay. So with that, oh my God, Patrice, You did the sexophonist joke. That's right. When you go to Dave's OnlyFans page, he does play music as well. What instrument? The saxophone.
Oh my god.
Okay. So with that, Ewan, where can people find you?
I'm at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and that's kind of it, really. It's been a bit of a weird year. Thanks to everyone who's written in and said hello, because it's been horrible. But I'll be back soon. I'll be here a bit more. I'll do a few more big shows and things like that, I hope.
Awesome. And you realize you just told people to find you at a place where most people can't get right now.
Well, they'll find it hard to send me an email calling me wanker now.
There is that.
Yeah. I'm up in the Slack room.
Yeah. You know, you and I haven't gotten any messages from you or anyone else saying people are writing in calling me a wanker.
Who would do that, mate? You're Jeff Gamet. You're the legendary Jeff Gamet. You're on the moist list. I'm not.
That's a good point. I am on the moist list. Yeah. Yeah. Chuck, I presume at this point you're on the moist list too. Other than that, where can people find you?
Thank you for bringing that up.
Only you and Righty. No, only you and Righty are on the moist list, mate. Sorry, Chuck.
That's okay. You, in fact, I'm kind of relieved to tell you the truth.
It is a burden, but one we bear proudly.
Okay. You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we do all kind of interesting conversations with a lot of interesting people. Just this morning, as we're recording this, I posted the very first video from CES. There are going to be a whole lot more, so be sure to check those out. And of course, we do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with several of the people whenever they can show up that are on this call, and a whole lot of other great people. And on the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices. That includes Twitter, Mastodon, Instagram, Facebook, you know, just Google me and the search and the service you want me on, and I'll be there. Ewan, it's good to have you back. We missed you.
Chuck Thanks, Joyner.
Man. Glad I'm here.
Only fans.
Onlychucks.com.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, all you wankers can find me on social media at Ben Rathig.
Such an insult.
It doesn't work when Americans say it.
I went over to America for the Ryder Cup when it was in Oakland Hills in Michigan, and they were given who's the American guy? Phil Mickelson. They were giving him a pile of grief over the fact he'd switched to Callaway. And I rang into a radio show in Detroit and said, I think you're being a bit harsh, and made me point. And they went, oh, you ever here for the Ryder Cup? Yes. And they said, so can we ask a question? Well, yeah, sure. I said, what does wanker mean? I was like, I'm not sure you want an explanation really on radio that is graphic. So it's someone who spends too long in the bathroom on their own.
And how do they respond?
Right. Yeah. Thanks for your call, Ewan.
And you can also find me at my interim blog at raythigtech.blogspot.com.
Sorry for interrupting, Ben.
Awesome. Dave, where can people find you?
Well, thanks for having me. You could find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on the socials at DaveG65, and I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night. Doing many of you here, and it's great to see you, and I'm so glad you're back. And thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Tom wants to know if I'm coming to the US Open in LA. No, that's an invite. Yes. Cheers, mate. Can I stay at yours?
It'll be awesome.
Sorry, Karen.
Patrice, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, the podcast, literally anything you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related memories and stories, you can head over to foodieflashback.com to listen to that.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh my God. Okay, so in the chat room, Ben, I'm totally calling you out. Ben points out that that he just tried to wipe the logo off Chuck's sweater because he thought it was a spot on his own display.
I thought I had a white spot here and it wasn't. It was on the screen. I've done that as well.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So when I'm not hanging out at Dave's OnlyFans page, you can find me on all the social medias as Jay Gamut. So right now, apparently, that's Mastodon, Instagram, YouTube. We'll see if that's Twitter. I don't know. Maybe with the API being dead for third-party apps, maybe I just stopped using Twitter today. Who knows? Anyhow, so on most Tuesdays, well, assuming after today, Chuck will have me back. Mac Voices Live. And then on Thursdays, The Big Show, Thursday evenings, assuming Dave will have me back after today, In Touch with iOS, here on The Big Show, or what is this show? The Mac Show on Mac Fridays. Show. And then also on The Context Machine, because Brian Chaffin and I teamed up again. And wow, thank you to all of you for being here today. This is absolutely wonderful. Ewan, I'm going to call you out specifically because you're the heart of the British Tech Network. And without you, we wouldn't be here. So yes, I take it as a big responsibility to be filling in for you. So thank you for making such an amazing network and creating this whole community where we're all excited to show up and be here every single week. You rock.
So, I try.
And let's see. Man, it's going to be hard to make everyone else feel like they have value when I thank them after that. But here's the thing. All of you that are here with us live, you are so important and love you. So glad that you were here. Thank you for being here and participating in the show today. Everyone that watches or listens later, thank you for being part of this as well. You are all awesome. Thank you to TSO Hosts for being here and supporting the show. Give them some online love. And a shout out to Mueller for somehow managing to make sure we actually have people showing up for shows. And wow, I think I have thanked everyone. So with that, I will say this has been so much fun. Join us next Thursday for The Big Show. And then don't forget to tune in again on Friday for The Mac Show. This has been so much fun. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.